Welcome to Sparrow Speaks, the podcast with the latest health news and information from Sparrow, Mid-Michigan's premier community healthcare leader. I'm your host, Deborah Howell, and today we'll be talking about preventing sudden cardiac death with the My Heart Safe Schools program. Our guest is Dr. Monica Goebel, a pediatric cardiologist. She works with University of Michigan Health at Sparrow Children's Center. Welcome, Dr. Goebel.
Hi, Deborah.
Lovely to have you on the podcast today. Dr. Goebel, what exactly is sudden cardiac arrest?
Well, Deborah, sudden cardiac arrest is when someone drops over suddenly. So it's a rhythm problem, electrical problem, like somebody flipped a switch and they go from feeling fine to dropping over because of this electrical problem. So the idea is to reset the heart rhythm in some way that we can get them back into a normal rhythm.
Okay. Now, there's a longstanding myth that sudden cardiac arrest, or SCA, only occurs in elderly adults. Can you set us straight on that?
Well, this brings up an interesting topic because in older people, we think of heart attacks, and some people would use the terms interchangeably. A heart attack has to do with the plumbing of the heart, the circulation, so clogged coronary arteries. So heart attacks are more common in older people. Obviously, they may feel, you know, some discomfort in the chest. They need to go to the ER and potentially have those blood vessels opened up. A sudden cardiac arrest typically is in someone who's otherwise healthy and there is no warning sign. There is no way to know that someone is at risk for a sudden cardiac arrest. And that occurs at all ages. We'd love to know what the underlying mechanism is. Sometimes we find out afterwards and sometimes we don't. But as I say, the sudden cardiac arrest is in people of all ages. An elderly person who has a heart attack or has a bad heart muscle or damaged heart muscle can have a sudden cardiac arrest, but more generally, it happens across the population. Maybe it's on an athletic field, maybe it's at a school, maybe it's at home. The idea is, with a sudden cardiac arrest, that you want to be prepared to help reset that heart rhythm. There's three quick steps. There's the call 911, of course, and then there's the hands-only CPR. So it's not a matter of thinking about mouth-to-mouth. It's hands-only, where you keep the circulation going, and then there's an automated external defibrillator, or AED, that should be applied to the chest, and then the machine, the AED, tells you whether or not a shock needs to be delivered. Now, EMS does all that, emergency medical services, when they arrive, now that you've called 911 as your first step, but the most important thing is to reset the heart rhythm as soon as possible. Studies have shown that within 10 minutes is the time that you're going to get optimal recovery. That means optimal brain function and that sort of thing. So if a bystander can help with the help of 911 talking them through the steps, can start this before EMS arrives. EMS is very happy if something's already underway because they may get there in 10 minutes, but by that time, some damage can already be done and you have less of a chance for survival.
I know with strokes they say time is brain, right?
Yes. Well, time is brain is a good way to look at this too, because that is the organ in our body that is more likely to sustain damage than others. And you'd love to get the heart rhythm back, but if there's a delayed response, you know, neurologically, as with a stroke, if the blood supply has been impaired for a certain amount of time, the brain function may not recover.
So switching gears just a little, what is a My Heart Safe School?
Well, My Heart Safe School is a school that is prepared if something like this happens. So maybe it's in a gym class, maybe it's in a classroom, maybe it's on an athletic field after hours. And this is sort of like airports and casinos have kind of geared up and had AEDs handy for people that collapse. Well, schools are the center of many communities, and if we can have them safe, then potentially heart safe is potentially it will spread out to the community. There's a lot of people from the community passing through a school system on an average day in an average year. So My Heart Safe is a series of steps. We've done this for 7 years now, and it's a series of things that the school says they have done that would help them be prepared for a cardiac emergency. That means that, well, I should say it's free. The deadline every year is May 15th, and it's a self-report kind of thing. And now it's online, and the steps are all there. But it's a series of different things, five different things, including you have a medical emergency response plan. You have a certain number of your faculty currently trained in CPR and AED use, that you maintain your AEDs if there is an emergency. I'll make an analogy to a fire extinguisher. You want to make sure that if you need it, it's ready to go, including the case of the AED, batteries that are good and the pads that you apply to the patient are good. And probably most important step is having a drill. The schools are mandated to have a certain number of fire drills throughout the course of a year. It's not a mandate. This is purely optional. But we're suggesting that once these things are in place, that you run a drill. It can be after hours. It doesn't have to be in the middle of a busy school day. And there are ways of doing this virtually. for this May 15th application deadline, but that you've actually run through the steps and maybe even coordinated with EMS. You pretended to call 911 or something, or they're part of the response team that helps you make sure that you run this drill, that you have the AED ideally on the victim within 3 minutes, and that things fall into place. So those steps for the My Heart Safe School program, you get a banner. It's been very well received. We have almost 600 schools that have gotten this designation, 596 to be exact, over a 7-year period when we started this in 2014. And it's 3 years later, you apply and check the same boxes that you've done these things. It's run through the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, the health department, and they answer questions, they handle the applications, and we've had a very nice relationship with them, with multiple people around the state that have helped support this program, and that's where it is housed.
Well, it sounds just terrific. Now, what does a school need to do to receive a My Heart Safe School designation?
Well, as I say, it's free. You need to get the application in by May 15th. It's very straightforward. It's the website that I think you'll provide for us, where you click the boxes and you have a point person at the school who says, we have done these things. And then if it's done, you're all up to speed by May 15th. We have an award ceremony every year where we give banners, certificates, and recognize the schools that have successfully achieved that designation.
Nice. Now, I know that much of the focus this year in schools has been on COVID-19, of course, but how important is it to ensure our schools are prepared for cardiac emergencies as well?
Well, I appreciate that question because right now we're trying to get kids back into sports after COVID, and there's some concern that, you know, are there kids that are going to be at risk? If you had a severe case of COVID, did you possibly have some effect on your heart and you need to be looked at before you go back? So that is an unanswered question that a lot of work is going into. The fact of the matter is that no matter how you screen people, even if you say we're going to screen the entire team and look at everybody's heart or the entire school, it is not possible to pick up everybody that is at risk for sudden cardiac arrest. When people collapse, as I say, it's frequently that there's no apparent explanation and who may have had normal cardiac testing in the past. So, having said that, no matter how good we are at identifying people that could be at risk from COVID or from something else, we are never going to be able to identify everybody who might be at risk. So to me, that makes this program even more important. The whole bystander response becomes more important than ever if we're concerned about, first of all, people being sedentary over the last year trying to get back into sports, people not going to see their doctors, and people suffering potentially from severe cases of COVID. So whatever is out there, it has been scientifically shown that this early bystander response, which we're promoting through the My Heart Safe School program, definitely does make a difference in terms of surviving something like that.
Absolutely. You've got a team surrounding you, and there should be a better word for bystander, right? Because really, so many are not standing by. They're really taking an active part in helping our kids.
Yes, I should say the word bystander means, you know, you see somebody go down. You don't have to say, well, wait a minute, I don't know how to do CPR. I'm not current on my training. There are Good Samaritan laws that say whoever jumps in and helps somebody in that kind of a situation, you're not going to be sued for doing the wrong thing. And we say that the patient or the victim is going to be better off if you do something than if you just stand there and say, oh, I don't think I can handle this. Let's wait for EMS to get there. So we've worked a lot with 911 dispatchers. If somebody calls and says, somebody just dropped, they used to say, do you know how to do CPR? And the person that was calling was, nah, maybe not. And now they just say, okay, here's what you do. If it's a cell phone, put your cell phone on speaker. Put it next to the person. Start your CPR. Just push on the chest hard and fast. Have somebody get the AED. And, of course, in the meantime, they're making sure that EMS arrives. So bystander implies that you may not have any idea what you're doing. You just saw somebody go down, and you remember that maybe if I do something quickly, it'll help that person survive.
Such terrific work you're doing. Thank you for all the education around this. And thank you so much for being on our podcast today, Dr. Goble.
Thank you, Deborah, for giving me that opportunity.
To learn more about pediatric healthcare and the joint venture with University of Michigan Health at Sparrow Children's Center, visit sparrow.org/children's center. And be sure to subscribe to Sparrow Speaks in Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcasts for our additional healthcare topics. I'm your host, Deborah Howell. Thank you so much for listening, and have yourself a great day.